Well, you know what that song always, when I hear it, it makes me think of you guys.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the idea behind the theme song.
It makes me think of you guys and this program that we do, The Great Debates.
I mean, it makes me think of our friendship. I'm Dave King, by the way. I'm here with Steve Healy, our moderator, Dan Medina.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Great Debates. I've got a micro debate, which is what we do here on the program. So why don't we just get right into it? I've got 53 minutes on the clock. Wait a minute. That's not going to work. How about just 3 minutes on the clock? Healy, would you like to take the pro?
I will. Yeah, I'll take the pro.
Okay, here's your topic up for debate. The first female president was marching today.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. We're talking today. It's a Saturday, January 21st, and there was today the big women's march in almost every major city in the United States. Hundreds of thousands of people turned out. There are some numbers like one in every 100 Americans turned out. Way, way, way more people than showed up for the inauguration of Donald Trump. It was a huge, massive political event. I think any clever politician, especially a female politician, turned up for the big event today. If you see a crowd, get in front of it if you're a politician. Plus, a lot of idealistic and activated women were out there for the march. It was a women-specific march. I think the first female president was somewhere out there. I think the first female president is somebody who's drawn to and attracted to actions and crowds and political activities. And the odds are she was probably there. So yeah, I think the first female president was somewhere out there in some city in the U.S. marching today.
There were not a large number of politicians who marched in these events, from what I can tell. And in particular, a couple women who I did not see marching in these events were Elizabeth Warren. I didn't see marching.
Right, Elizabeth Warren was there. She was at an event on Boston Common.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't think Hillary Clinton was there, and I think she still could be our first female president.
No way. Her political career is over. She will not be our first female
president. Her political career is certainly not over. Whether or not she becomes president or not is a different matter. But the sheer numbers are what's on my side here. I'm sorry?
You think she'll run for office
again? Probably not, but I wouldn't rule it out at all. And that's one of the reasons why. I mean, I think I would say at this point, there's about a 15% chance that Hillary Clinton will become our first female president. I think
crazy.
I don't think that's ludicrous at all. I think if she decides to run.
She's a 70-year-old woman who ran a terrible campaign.
She will be running again.
Universally regarded as having run a poor campaign.
Her age is irrelevant because she will be running against a man who is as old as she is. So that doesn't matter.
Okay. I don't think he should run either.
What's that?
I don't think he should run either.
Okay, but we don't. Whatever. We're off track here. The thing that's on my side here is the numbers. There were millions of women, or maybe
that's on my side.
No, there's still a huge minority of the women in this country, and unfortunately. Look, it may take a long time before there's a female president. I hate to say that. I wish that weren't the case, but we only elect a president every 4 years. And the chances that, like, a 6-year-old who will be 40 years old, I mean, there's a very good chance it'll be, again, it sucks, but 28, 32 years from now, a lot of children went to these events, but most children did not. Most women did not. Also, most women in general did not. And yes, politically active women tended to go, but still, we're only talking about roughly two out of about 170 million women in this country who went to these marches. Is that all the time we have?
That's a micro, baby.
God, we got mired down in the Hillary stuff.
Okay, just Medina, what'd you think?
You won.
Thank you.
I mean, Davis, come on. I don't want to hear any shit about this one from anyone out there in the listening. It's not about bias. It's just that debate in particular as a standalone.
I agree to that. That's fine.
And when I thought that you were right about the Elizabeth Warren thing, I was going to go with you.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Once in a while, and this very rarely happens on the Great Debates. But once in a rare while, someone will say something that they don't know whether it's true or not, and the other person happens to know that it's not true, and it's just death.
Those are rare. I also should say that I'm only 60% sure that Elizabeth Warren was
fascinated. Right.
Also, well I do think you left a huge argument on the table, which is very decent chance the first female president will be a conservative. It could be Nikki Haley. It could be a Republican. Ooh. Like this is a partisan, more or less partisan event, right?
I don't know. I was actually curious about that. How many women who voted for Trump were out there?
Well, why? What would be the point of marching? I mean, did, as I understand it, there was some kind of platform, but the event, you know, had a fairly amorphous meaning and was sort of.
Yes. Well, a couple. There could be a couple possibilities there. One is that it's women who voted for Trump and since voting have remorse, mm-hmm. and the other would be women who voted for Trump. Sort of held their nose and were sort of like lifelong conservatives and still believe in women's rights more than they believe in, like, that they believe that Trump should be president, which is a fine line, I understand. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know who quite would fit into that category, but I could see it.
I think this will happen in our lifetime. A woman running for office will be busted on lying, or a man running for office, on lying about having been at this march.
Great.
That's interesting.
Great.
Maybe.
Can't produce a photograph of them. Or it's fake. Or it's like, clearly photoshopped
they
or
just,
whatever.
You know, somebody can prove they weren't there or something. They were at Disneyland.
Do you think someone, like, if there's a picture of a, like, 22-year-old woman who marched today, mm-hmm. and 20 years from now she runs for Senate, mm-hmm. let's say, and she's holding a picture that... Like the language she uses is like really like
hands
abhorrent.
Off my pussy or whatever. Like
or worse.
Cool.
Would that? Do you think that would cost her? I mean,
kind of like Jill Stein's.
My projection of American politics based on most recent history is it's going to be like the debates are going to be swear fests, and
right.
you're going to be taking your tits out. And
it's
stuff.
Only getting more vile. Well, I think we're in host chat.
Yeah,
are we
we're
not?
Definitely in host chat.
Guys, here's the thing about host chat. There's only one topic that everybody wants to hear about,
this week, yes.
And it's the chest hair challenge.
Okay, so last week the topic of the main event debate was
chest hair.
Simply chest hair.
It was an intense debate, and Dave and I, somewhere in the course of the debate, agreed that we would, if enough viewers and listeners wrote to us, we would post photographs of our chest hair and listeners could compare them.
You both felt boastful about your own.
We both got to boasting about our chest hair.
Chest hair.
Yeah.
It appeared that the only way to settle the score was to see photographic evidence. The listeners agreed. Yeah. We asked for 50 emails. Let's just say we got way more than 50 emails. Here's a thing that I found interesting about the emails that we did get, mostly men.
You know, I thought that was interesting, too. I think there's a lot of demand out there by men to know what is good or bad chest hair.
Agreed.
Right?
It's really, it's a scientific study kind of a thing.
Is there a shortage of pictures of chest hair on the internet?
Just for your regular podcast type guys, they want to know about
that stuff. I, for myself, will be curious to see, you know, a vote on two different things and be like, okay, that's more popular than that.
Non-actor model chest hair.
Right. Just a guy.
Dude.
Chest. Now, Healy, you got one interesting, where we received one interesting vote.
Oh, yeah. We did get one no vote. We got a vote
right.
from...
We said
no
just,
vote?
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know that was a possibility. We said if you want...
Abstention was technically a no vote, so this is sort of like a double no.
Exactly.
Yeah, this came in from Philip Chadwell, I think. He writes, and I'm a big fan of the podcast. After listening to the latest episode, I wanted to write in. You guys stated that if enough people emailed in wanting Steve and Dave to post photos of their chest hair, you guys would. Well, I certainly don't want that. So please count this as a negative one, minus one, email toward that goal. Thank
a negative
you.
One. Philip, and we did.
Noted, counted. That's
still
one away.
Surpassed
still way
the
over the margin,
barrier.
So it's going to happen. You can look away, avert your eyes. The way we'll do this is probably on our Twitter feed. So
yes,
look for that.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's what I think we should do at least. Mm-hmm. Sometime today, if today's Thursday, if you're listening on Sirius, it's Wednesday, but whatever. Thursday, we'll put out two tweets. First one will be two pictures labeled A and B. Mm. Hope something like this.
They'll be headless, mm-hmm. non-identified.
You won't know who's who. You might be able to tell. Mm. You could probably guess from our voices what kind of chest hair we have. And you could also probably tell just from our sort of worldview what kind of chest hair we have. Anyway, then the next tweet will be a poll. Whose chest hair is better, A or B? Look at the pics. You can't put a poll and pictures together in the same tweet. You'll figure it out. That's all you need to know. Now, Healy, something happened right before the debates tonight.
Yeah, I saw your chest hair.
And?
I predict this is going to be one of the greatest days of your life.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're going to have a real boost of self-esteem about your body like you never had before.
Cool.
That seems unlikely, but...
Hey, look, we don't just chat about
right
jump stuff. Fire. We no. have debates here. We yeah. have a product, debate.
Do you guys want to talk about a debate that we'd like to have?
Yeah.
I have an audio clip.
Okay.
That I'd like to play for you, and okay. then I think it would be good for us to have a debate out of it. I'll announce the topic after the clip.
Okay.
This is audio taken from the Senate floor, as I okay. understand yep. it, and this is Al Franken talking to Governor Rick Perry.
Okay. He's been nominated as Secretary of Energy.
Right. So we're at a Senate committee hearing here, a confirmation hearing, and let's just see what the two of them have to say here.
Governor, thank you so much for coming into my office. Did you enjoy meeting me?
I hope you were as much fun on that dais as you were on your couch.
Well,
may I rephrase that, sir?
Please, please, please. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I think we found our Saturday Night Live soundbite.
Let's move on.
Okay, topic up for debate. Now we're going to have Dave take the pro here. Dave, you ready?
Usually so.
This exchange is homophobic.
There's something homophobic about this exchange. This is classic gay panic humor. We've seen it time and time again. It's time for this kind of thing to go away. Look, here's what happened. Two men joked about a sort of, there was a sort of double entendre or something like that, where or innuendo that something happened on their couch. Everybody laughed. Not only was there something in the air that suggested that the two of them had sex or whatever went into your head, but there was an added quote-unquote joke, which is that these were two men. And that contributed to the level of laughter in the room, and it also contributed to the level of sort of like faux defense that Al Franken put on when he says, please. Perry says, can I rephrase? Please rephrase. God forbid people would think that two men such as you and I made out or whatever on a couch. And so too, when Rick Perry says, I think we just found our SNL moment. Yes, it would have been still kind of funny if this had been a female woman, if either of them had been female. But absolutely, people were laughing more because it was two men. And their responses were heightened because it was two men. And because of that, it's absolutely homophobic.
I disagree, strongly disagree with Dave. I think this is, yeah, the joke, no question, is alluding to the idea that these two guys had sex. But that doesn't make it homophobic. You can have a joke that touches on a subject like homosexuality or race. You can make a joke about race without it being racist. And similarly, I think you can make a joke about homosexual sex without it being homophobic. Both Perry, the idea that Senator Al Franken and Governor Rick Perry, a staunch conservative Republican and a liberal senator from Minnesota, would have sex in Al Franken's office is itself an absurd and humorous idea. There's nothing that's homophobic about it. Now, I'm certain that Governor Rick Perry is homophobic. Maybe Al Franken is too. Maybe we all are a little bit, but I don't think this joke is at all. I think circumstances can arise that are absurd and implausible and create a ridiculous image in the mind or a ridiculous or silly misunderstanding from the way language is constructed. It's a funny joke about misunderstandings that's not homophobic at all. Yeah, the center of the joke is the absurd idea that these two guys made out or whatever on the couch, but that's not homophobic in itself. It's just alluding to the absurd idea that these two guys would have made out or had sex on the couch.
Okay. There's a few things to parse here. One is that you said, and I agree correctly, that you can make jokes about race or men having sex with each other without it being racist or homophobic. That's certainly true. But in this case, the added comedy purely comes from the fact that it is two men having, or there is there is and only is innuendo about two men having sex.
Yeah, the innuendo is definitely, it sounds like Rick Perry saying we hooked up
Let
or
me
we
ask
made
you
out
this.
On the couch.
Do you agree
no question.
That, do you agree, since you've said that this is, that you've brought up the idea that you can make jokes about men having sex and that can be funny without it being homophobic, do you agree that this was, quote unquote, I'll say, more funny or got more laughs or had a higher or a more heightened response because it was two men versus a man and a woman? Do you agree with that part of the equation?
No, actually, I disagree.
That is absurd.
I think that you could absolutely have, I mean, I think a lot of the exchange depends on the specifics of who these guys are. And there's a lot of tension in the room because anyone who knows them knows that these two guys are natural antagonists who don't like each other.
Okay,
so it's very hard to extrapolate from this specific setup of characters to two other setups of characters.
But let's say Carly Fiorina up there. Al Franken's not going to go, please rephrase.
No, I absolutely.
He might say something like, yeah, for the sake of my wife, please rephrase. And it would be a much more tempered response. You wouldn't get this sort of like, oh my God, please. Oh my Lord.
So you think
oh my Lord twice.
You think the homophobic part is the please? The way Al Franken says,
no,
please.
I've said before, and I'll say again, that the homophobic element is a heightening of A, the laughter in the room, B, the response from Al Franken of, please rephrase, please, please, oh my Lord, oh my Lord, and also Rick Perry saying, I think we found our SNL moment.
No,
all of those things are, none of those things are like in and of themselves strictly homophobic, but the fact that but because they are in part homophobic, they engendered a larger response.
You're putting a darkness on this that is not necessarily there. And that darkness, I don't know, I think that's in your head and not in these guys' heads. Like the idea that these two guys, political antagonists, would have had sex and hooked up and that they say it in this particular way.
Your argument comes down to this now. Is that these two roughly 60-year-old men and everyone else in that room think that it's funnier that a liberal and a conservative would have sex than they think that it's funny that two men would have sex.
It's
and
not,
you have
no,
to believe that that's
no,
not
no, no,
true.
Because it does not make it
Sorry.
You're really going to be that childish.
Yeah, I had to. It's fun.
Okay. It does not make it homophobic that it is more absurd that these two married guys would have had sex than less absurd for Al Franken and Carly Fiorina to have had sex on the couch.
Okay, so
and
this
also,
is
like,
interesting.
That is much more darker,
okay,
more common, more real,
a
more of a societal danger.
Yeah, I get it. If you think it's more absurd that two men would have sex, then that's homophobic.
No, it's not more absurd because both these guys are known to be married straight guys.
What's that?
No, it's more absurd because both these guys are known to be married straight guys.
Well,
it's more absurd.
Again, as we talked about, Rick Perry is actually heavily rumored to be gay himself. There's rampant rumors that he had an affair with the Secretary of State in Texas. So it is not, as a point of fact, like 100% like... whatever, proven to be fact that these two men are straight. And in fact, some of the titters in the room, and indeed within Franken's own head, may have been from the fact that Rick Perry is maybe the single most, outside of like Michelle Bachmann's husband and what's his name? Whatever, it doesn't, Lindsey Graham, one of the most rumored to be gay politicians out there. That to say that that element, I mean, I didn't need to introduce that element to prove my point, but I think it's worth bringing up.
I think you're bringing that to this exchange. That's in your head. That's not what's making, that's not what at the heart of this situation.
You're basically right. What's at the heart of this situation is that two men accidentally made innuendo that they had sex in Al Franken's office, and everyone laughed because it's funny to them that two men would have sex.
Yeah, it's funny
and
absurd to them because it's less likely than the man and a woman having sex.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, and you said it was heteronormative. Maybe.
Yes, I agree that it's heteronormative.
Well,
I don't think it's homophobic.
Is homophobic.
No, it's not.
It absolutely
phobic
is.
Means being afraid of gay. Heteronormative just means we're assuming the more
Healy.
Customary, the more natural, the more likely scenario.
What
is for a man to be homosexual? That's heteronormative.
What
our society is heteronormative.
Gay, if not joking, please rephrase, oh my Lord. Please rephrase, oh my Lord. How is that not homophobic? That's my closing statement.
Okay, I'm going to let the debate conclude.
Wow.
Medina, what do you think?
Whew. It's been getting so hot lately.
It has been hot.
It's good.
I'm
it's
curious
good.
What's at the heart of your passion about this particular subject.
Oh, I just think like that casual homophobia is one of the last bastions of dangerous humor. Mm-hmm. And people tend to like joke about it. I'll slip into it once in a while and I catch myself going, what the how the fuck could I do this? This is so awful, and 20 years from now it's going to seem so foolish, and the jokes we make on television, people still do this. I see it a lot in like sports journalism. Like this happens, like I'll watch PTI and they'll make a sort of casual gauge. Okay, Tony, I didn't mean, you know, that you and I would be that close. And it's like, what the fuck are we doing? This is awful. This is the kind of subtle way that stereotypes and like otherness tends to get reinforced.
I'm going with Davis on this one. I think you have a high barrier or obstacle there, Steve, to just prove that no one's thinking that when it's quite obvious that they are. And yeah, you did a credible job.
I took on a tough one.
I think there's
something to Dave's argument, but I do think like the fact that homosexuality is less common and thus the idea of it happening between Al Franken and Rick Perry is more absurd, strange, and surprising, it doesn't make that like that allows it to be funnier than a man and a woman without being homophobic.
I totally disagree. Like, that is the essence to me of homophobia, in part, is that, like, you're basically saying, like, isn't it funny? It's less common, therefore it has to be funny.
No, I think,
weird.
I think a lot of that's a lot of humor, that something that's more surprising and strange is funnier than something that's very common.
Mm. Yeah, but, okay, well, there's a difference between... Are we going to do another debate, or do we want to just keep talking about this?
Yeah, let's keep talking about this.
Because there's a difference between saying more surprising and like, oh, it's because it's less common, it's funnier. I think that's very dangerous. Again, in the same like subtle way that I was earlier referring to, like those are the kinds of things we have to say, like, no, it's not funny because it's less common. That's a dangerous concept and like principle to adhere to in humor and in comedy writing. I get like what you're saying, that like, okay, sometimes the nature of a joke is to introduce an unlikely pairing. Like, yes, in the abstract, that is true. But when you're talking about human behaviors, or when you're talking about things that have like divided this country, mm-hmm. and when you're talking about like behaviors that have cost people civil rights for centuries, you have to be more careful about
that. Okay, but let's say it's a man and a woman and same exchange. I think we wouldn't laugh at that as much because it's too likely. That is way more scary, plausible, upsetting, commonplace, and that would take the humor out of it. Mm-hmm. The idea of Perry and Franken having sex is so ridiculous and absurd that we can laugh at it because it's just not what these guys are all about. Rick Perry's the governor of Texas. His whole thing is projecting this macho image. Al Franken, they're both known to be married. It's just not everyday discourse in life.
I'll go out on a limb here. I'll go so far as to say that if your belief is that it is more absurd for two straight married men if your belief is it is more absurd for a married man to cheat on his wife with another wife, with another man, than it is to cheat on his wife with another woman, then I believe that is subtly homophobic.
Homophobic or heteronormative?
Both.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You think
heteronormative, maybe, but if we're qualifying the man as straight, then it's certainly more likely that he's going to cheat on his wife.
But I guess this is maybe a semantics thing. I would go along with surprising, but absurd has a negative connotation to me. So I don't know. Maybe this is a dumb argument.
I think in a world where where we haven't experienced homophobia, and the whole, it's not on the minds of everybody in the room, then this is funny. And just plainly funny, like a New Yorker cartoon. But we know that this is what's on people's minds.
Yes.
And so it's obviously coming out in what Franken is saying.
Especially in the chambers of our legislature, which again has for centuries like put down the rights of gay men and women in this country, or like limited their access to things like healthcare. I mean, yes, of course it's on their minds.
I think you're definitely right, and I was taking a slightly more extreme position in the debate than I actually believe, but I do think it's within the realm of acceptably ridiculous to laugh at it. But yeah, you're probably right. Deep, deep down in there is probably a kernel of homophobia.
Who do you think has better chest hair, Al Franken or Rick Perry?
Perry.
I would go Franken. I'm going to guess Franken.
Franken, what do we know about him?
The head of hair he has is very thick and
thick. Harry's a little younger. Scratchy. He's a bit of a fitness guy. He's from Texas. It's part of his whole thing. He's a better looking guy than Franken.
Interesting. Do you think in general better looking men have better chest hair? Do you think... I don't know. What are we doing?
I think we're having some debates.
Yeah.
I hope this was a provocative and interesting discussion about some issues.
Yeah, me too. Really, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really quite good and funny.
Hey, write to us. GreatDebate69 in every format, Gmail, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us on our website. Let's hear it.
Guys, had a great time. Enjoyed my time with you, my friends, Steve and Dave. And looking forward to seeing you all next week.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.